This is a state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, filling in for Frank Stacio. The large-scale immigration raids planned for earlier this week did not go as initially planned. The Trump administration promised massive sweeps, but reporting shows federal immigration authorities shifted their energy to smaller, dispersed raids. Alan Gomez is an immigration reporter with USA Today. He's been following the latest in immigration news, and he joins us now. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, as we said, the administration announced raids to target 2,000 recently arrived immigrants with deportation orders. What happened after the plans went public? There was a lot of media attention starting last Friday and into the weekend.
Yeah, and to be clear on this, I mean, part of the reason they went public is because the administration officials were talking about it quite openly, and Donald Trump himself announced that they would be starting on Sunday. And so what happened was, by Sunday morning, reporters around the country, immigration advocates, immigration attorneys, everybody was kind of primed and looking for these. And apparently, in the face of all that scrutiny, I decided to sort of shift gears. And so when what we were expecting to be something like 2,000 arrests, as they had broadcast, ended up just being a handful. We've heard reports over the week of some people arrested in New York, outside Chicago, in Minnesota, in Oregon. But this massive widespread raid that they had promised for so long, that has not materialized yet. That could still happen. They could just be waiting a little bit longer before they get going. But as of right now, we just have seen no evidence that this has been happening.
Can you give us some historical context here about the quantity of deportations under Trump and how it fits into the bigger picture of the Trump and Obama administrations?
Well, I think the top line numbers, the Trump administration, the arrests from ICE agents, and to be clear, there's Border Patrol that patrols that southwest border. ICE officials, ICE agents are the ones that conduct arrests of undocumented immigrants living in the interior of the country. So folks in North Carolina would be more familiar with ICE agents than they would with Border Patrol. And what happened once Trump came in is he obviously ordered everybody, his ICE agents, to go after more undocumented immigrants to increase the number of arrests and deportations. They've been able to increase those number of arrests. But the biggest shift really has been in the kind of people that they're targeting. In the last few years under the Obama administration, ICE agents were tasked with focusing mostly on undocumented immigrants who had a serious criminal record. The last month of the Obama presidency, 83% of the people that were arrested by ICE were undocumented immigrants who also had a criminal conviction on their record. Under Trump, he changed the guidelines for ICE and allowed his agents to go after any undocumented immigrant that they found. And so we've seen that percentage plummet. It's now down in the 60s. And so they're getting more people. They're getting more of the quote-unquote bad hombres that President Trump talked about, but they're also rounding up a lot more people who have just kind of been living and working in the United States, and their only violation is an immigration one.
So by down in the 60s, that's around 60% of the deportees have criminal convictions, as opposed to 83-ish percent under Obama. Is that right?
Exactly. And so these are folks who the majority of them fit into their priorities, but under Trump, that changed. Their priorities now include people who have pending charges. That means they've been charged with something but haven't been convicted. And they go and they're in this latest raid, they were supposed to be really targeting and prioritizing some of these more recent border crossers who've had final orders of deportation issued by an immigration judge. So it's a much broader pool of those 11 million undocumented immigrants that are being targeted under this administration.
What do these tactics look like on the ground then when we're talking about ICE raids? What actually happens and what does that mean for undocumented immigrants?
Yeah, a regular operation is, they usually like doing it at night, just as a police agency would try to, if they were going after a certain suspect, they would usually try to go at night. So a lot of these happen before dawn, happen late into the night. And it kind of looks like you would picture just a regular police kind of raid, where they go and they approach a door, several of them, depending on the severity of the crime that the person is convicted of, depending on intelligence that they have, whether the person could be violent. They that determines how many more agents they bring along with them. But at that point, yeah, if they have a search warrant signed by a judge, then they can just enter the home. They can bash down doors. They can smash windows. They can do whatever they need to get into a building. But for a lot of these cases, these are people who have a final deportation order, but ICE agents do not have a search warrant to enter the home. So that's one of the things that we've been seeing a lot in these last couple of weeks is immigration advocacy groups trying to inform immigrants that just because an ICE agent shows up at your door, you don't have to open the door. You can request whether they have a judicial warrant. If they do, they advise them to please slide it under the door so they can see it, and in that case, then open the door. But in a lot of cases, ICE agents just kind of rely on immigrants coming outside, and then they detain them at that point. So a lot of that advocacy work has led to we've heard a lot of reports this week of ICE agents showing up at doors, knocking, asking for people to come out, and then they do not because they ask for that judicial warrant. The ICE agents don't have it, and then they basically have to leave.
I only have about 20 seconds left, but I want you to give us a little bit of context about the recent asylum changes that were announced by the Trump administration at the top of the week.
Very quickly, the Trump administration has been trying to chip away at the ability of mostly Central Americans from approaching that southwest border and requesting asylum. And what they did on Monday is the biggest change by far. They basically prevent all Central Americans from requesting asylum in the United States at that southern border, basically arguing that they could have requested asylum in Mexico, so they should not be requesting asylum here. That's been challenged in court. There'll be a hearing next Wednesday in a federal court in California to determine whether that policy can continue.
Alan Gomez is an immigration reporter with USA Today. Thanks so much, Alan.
Thank you.
Joining the conversation now is Emilio Vicente. He's the communications manager for Familia, an advocacy organization that serves the LGBTQ Latinx community. Emilio, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me today.
Tell me about North Carolina. What's happened this week? Has North Carolina noticed any increased ICE presence?
So because of the announcements, we expected there to be some type of ICE presence in North Carolina, but we haven't seen that. What we have seen is an unprecedented level of engagement by community members, people making sure that their communities know their rights, that like Alan said, that people understand what they should and shouldn't do. And that's, I would say, led to a lot of also why ICE hasn't been coming to North Carolina as well.
So there's been a lot of community watch groups, community messaging groups, know your rights trainings.
Yes.
How would you respond to people that say that those efforts to identify ICE vehicles and kind of intervene is illegal meddling?
I would say that what ICE is doing is terrorizing communities right now. So by simple rumors of ICE being in communities, a lot of people don't go to church, don't go shopping, they don't send their children to schools, and that disrupts communities and what they would do on a regular basis. And I would say that as communities, if you care about the people who live around you, especially those who don't have status and are just trying to live a better future here, I would say that your duty is to make sure that they're safe, that their lives aren't disrupted by continued rumors of ICE presence. And you do that, again, by also making sure that your community members know their rights and what to do in case ICE is in the area. A lot of times there are rumors that ICE is in the area. Many times, because people are able to go confirm that ICE isn't in the area, it reduces panic and fear in the community.
So you are undocumented. You are also an activist. What has the impact been on you about the talk of the raids and everything that has been going on in this recent era?
Yeah, so I am undocumented. I've been active in immigration for the past 10 years. I started in high school, and I would say that the impact on me and the impact of other people that I've talked to of the psychological effects has been tremendous, especially over the past few years with more presence of ICE activity around the country. For many of us, that has meant psychological and physical effects. For me personally, I've over the last few years, because there's so much stress and anxiety and uncertainty of what could happen to me or especially my family, I've developed irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, which is basically my body's way of telling me that I need to take care of myself. And I know for a fact, talking to other activists and other immigrant people who are not active, that their stress and anxiety levels have gone significantly up because, again, every single day there's something new again, rumors sometimes, there is actual ICE presence. And what we're trying to do is trying to protect our families. And sometimes for us, that has meant not taking care of ourselves.
What would you say to community members who hear stories like yours and don't understand why you may be putting yourselves through this level of psychological torture and emotional fear to stay in the U.S.?
Yeah, so the reality is that we either stay silent and let these things happen, or we speak out and people understand our stories of why our families came here, why we're here, why we choose to stay here. On my end, I choose to stay here because I've been here since I was six, and I literally don't know any other place other than the U.S., and for many of us, that's the case, regardless of how long we've been here. Many of us are here because we want a better future, because our countries can't provide that, and we speak out because we love our country, and we want to make it better, and I think trying to make any place better is by speaking out, talking about what is wrong in the community and trying to fix those issues that are wrong in the community. And that does bring some sense of exposure and that you're vocal. But I also find that when I talk to people, especially people who are very anti-immigrant and they know my story and know other stories of why me and my family came here, we humanize the issue. And it's a lot harder for somebody to look at me as an abstract concept when I can break it down and show them that, yeah, I'm just like you. The main difference is I don't have papers and I wasn't lucky to have been born here.
Emilio Vicente is the communications manager for Familia. It's an advocacy organization that serves the LGBTQ Latinx community. Thank you so much, Emilio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just ahead, Nicole Byer is the host of Nailed It. She performs stand-up in Cary this weekend. She tells us all about it and her recent appearance on Drunk History. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.